This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Gregory Zuckerman. He is the author of the new book about the vaccine so far, A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. Gregory, congratulations and a very good evening to you, and thank you for this. I take you to a dramatic moment in your book. It is January 2020. A Chinese researcher, Zhang, headquartered at Fudan University in Shanghai, his lab is there, has received what he needs to map out the genome of what he suspects is a new version of SARS or something odd that's been reported from Wuhan, the 11 million populated city in the middle of China that is experiencing strange afflictions. He gets the material he needs to map the genome, and he calls his colleague Eddie Holmes in Australia. What does he tell him? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, and great to be back here. And yeah, you've kind of pinpointed what I think is an overlooked and very dramatic episode that was a turning point in history, frankly. So this scientist, as you mentioned, China, Zhang, a 58-year-old infectious disease expert, he basically maps the genome of this new and really troubling and even scary virus. They're not sure what it is yet, but it seems like SARS, and it seems more dangerous than the first SARS. If you recall, that one did kill some people. It was lethal, but eventually petered out, partly because, or largely because, we could identify who had been infected. And what this scientist, Zhang, gets scared about is that there are asymptomatic people that have been infected by this new virus. And he's nervous because if they're asymptomatic and yet they've been infected, well, that means this thing could spread. So he's scared. He's not sure what to do.
He makes a phone call to Australia. What does he tell his colleague?
Right. So he and this scientist, Eddie Holmes, have been working together for years, and they wrote papers together, and they investigated and researched infectious diseases together. And basically, Zhang is torn what to do. On the one hand, he wants to share the sequence, the genetic sequence, with Holmes. And Holmes says, hand it over, share it. We need to start spreading the word about this virus and, more importantly, about its genetic sequence, because then people can get working on it. Scientists around the world can start working on testing kids, can start working on drugs, maybe even a vaccine. So Holmes is like, it's time, you got to hand it over. And Zhang is aware of the dangers. If he hands it over, the authorities are not going to be happy. They're not being very transparent, the Chinese authorities. They're maybe even a little bit embarrassed that this new virus has emerged once again. They keep happening from China. Once again, there's one emerging from China. Zhang knows there could be consequences, serious consequences for him, if he hands over the genetic sequence. So he's not sure what to do.
Eddie Holmes impresses upon him, and this is the Andromeda strain moment, that this is SARS. You cannot control this. You've got to put it out to the world. He does. Eventually, Zhang puts it up on the internet. And January 10th, a man named Barney Graham at the NIH sees it. And he calls his colleague of many years, McClellan, who's on the ski slopes. Who is Graham and who is McClellan, and what do they do about it?
Yeah, so Barney Graham and Jason McClellan are hugely important to us all. Barney Graham has been chasing viruses, trying to come up with vaccines for lethal viruses, including one called RSV, for years, for decades even. He works for the government. He's in D.C., working for the NIH. And he had a younger colleague named Jason McClellan, who once worked at the NIH and subsequently left to start his own lab at University of Texas at Austin. And he's a structural biologist. He is an expert on the structure of viruses. And he had been working on earlier vaccines for earlier coronaviruses. If we recall the first SARS, MERS, other kind of viruses, he's got this way he has developed, along with a Chinese colleague, an immigrant from China who's waiting for his green card, and there are a lot of ironies thereof. They are working on vaccines for different viruses, and they've got a way to stabilize the spike protein in the coronavirus. And they've been just waiting for the challenge, waiting for the opportunity to show the world. And Graham said, here's our chance. Here's a new virus. It's a coronavirus. Jason, will you and your colleagues work with me to develop a vaccine?
That is the beginning of the story for the pursuit of the conquest of the vaccine. But other people also are alerted that Zhang has put up the mapping of the genome of the virus. One person who sees it on Thursday, January 23rd, Stefan Bancel of Moderna. Bancel has a colorful personality, to say the least. Others see it on January 25th. For example, a man named Shaheen, who works with his colleague and his wife, Tureci. He sees it, my date here says, about the same time. He sees it on the internet. He works in Germany. And he and Tureci are migrants from Turkey, and they're involved in a company called BioNTech in Germany. Others see it. For example, Dan Baruch sees it, a man who will eventually work very closely with J&J. Everybody sees what Zhang puts up there. So I want to stop before we plunge into all these people and who they are. Your measure, Gregory, at this point, when Zhang gets that information out, it is not official, but it is believed by all of these experts who have been looking for years for solutions to other challenges, AIDS, for example, or Ebola, or flu. They've been looking at it. Do they collectively, your reporting is in depth and you've talked to so many people, do they collectively think that this day was always going to happen? A virus that has a high R naught, that means it transmits itself easily. Eventually, we'll understand that COVID-19 travels in the air with globules from human beings who cough and talk. But do they think this day is going to come, or is this a nightmare that they thought was just out of fiction and not real?
So those that I write about in my book, those that I spoke to researching the book, are all experts in virology, infectious diseases, and they realize what's happening in the world. And that means mankind is encroaching on nature. There's global warming, there's increased international travel, and they all realize that we're in an age of lethal viruses. And usually they're spilled over from animals. And was it inevitable? No, nothing's ever inevitable, but they were not shocked that one so lethal and so dangerous and so easily transmittable arose. Again, we had the earlier ones. MERS and SARS were scary in their own ways. We had other kind of diseases and viruses over recent years, Zika and others. And these people, the people I write about in my book, had chased them all and tried to create vaccines for them all and got close, but not quite there. Either the viruses dissipated or they failed. They came close, but they were waiting for the opportunity. They thought they had new approaches, not the old school approaches of including in a vaccine the actual virus killed or weakened. They have these new approaches and they say, we're going to show the world. We just need an opportunity. And here, early 2020, when we're all scared about our future, they see the opportunity.
In other words, the old style, this dates back at least to the 18th century and the smallpox pandemic that swept through the Atlantic world, both in the colonies, America, and the Caribbean colonies, and in Great Britain. That smallpox vaccine was essentially a piece of the smallpox itself that you then injected or introduced into a human being who wasn't ill. And though they went through fevers and pustules, if they survived, they were then protected from smallpox. It later on became, and Gregory is very careful about the history here, it became possible to use cowpox to prevent smallpox. But that's the old style of vaccine making. That's what they want to improve upon. Is that correct, Gregory?
Exactly. Scientists had always dreamed of improving on existing methods. The old school way is a fine approach, including the actual piece of a virus in a vaccine, but it doesn't always work. It's sometimes dangerous for things like HIV. You really don't want to include a piece of such an awful, dangerous virus. It takes a while to get going to manufacture the vaccines. And the dream had always been to do a faster approach. And one of the methods was messenger RNA, another is adenovirus. And they were new technologies, new generation approaches to vaccines. And the people I write about had been perfecting them, honing them for years. They just hadn't quite proved to the world that they were effective and protective.
We're going to pursue the two methodologies that Gregory just outlined. One is the messenger RNA. The other is using adenovirus. What does that mean? These are two routes to the same success. And what we have here in 2021 is both routes are successful. We go back to the beginning then of the men and women who were alerted that day in January when they see the genome of the coronavirus, of SARS is back. It's back, as Eddie Holmes says in Australia. You must tell the world it's back. Well, what is to be done? The book is Gregory Zuckerman's A Shot to Save the World, the inside story of the life or death race for a COVID-19 vaccine. And when we come back, Moderna. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.